Our text for this evening's sermon is taken from Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 1. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word for us. Our dear Father, we do thank You for bringing to us the light of Your word, for granting to us, dear Father, that which is necessary for us to know You truly, to know ourselves, and the responsibilities You've called us to in this life. Dear Father, we ask that You would now move by Your Spirit to enliven Your Word within our minds and in our hearts, that we would grow with a more knowledge and understanding of what You say here, so that we would be better equipped, dear Father, to carry on the vocations You've given to us at church, in the home, at work, and at school. Young and old alike, dear Father, may this word be written upon our hearts and be lived out in our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 through verse 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. And our verse of special focus this evening, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. A few months ago, I began a study of Proverbs out of a desire for more wisdom. You might be able to relate with my felt need, with the responsibilities God has given to us and the demands upon our time and energy, so often feeling weak to the task God has given. And so I found myself praying for more knowledge and understanding of His Word, which led me to pray more for greater wisdom, and that brought me to a study of Proverbs. At first approach to this book, I viewed it simply as a collection of wise sayings. Maybe you do too. When just paging through its chapters, there doesn't seem to be the same kind of order or structure we find in other books. And so for many years, I saw it as a collection of things that are valuable to think upon and reflect upon, and might just be valuable when facing a decision in life. And that indeed is true about Proverbs. It is a collection of wise sayings, and it is really helpful when facing some of life's difficulties. And yet, I was in for a delightful surprise. For Proverbs is far more than simply a random collection of wise sayings. Though at first read, it doesn't have the same kind of context or story or drama that we're used to finding in other books of the Bible. And it doesn't have the extended poetry or heart that we come into when reading the Psalms. Neither does it seem to have the same theological substance we've come to love in books like Genesis or the Gospel of John and Romans. There's not a whole lot about God in this book. We don't read much of His covenant. There's very little specific reference to His law or His promises. And so getting to Jesus through the Proverbs, as we're accustomed to doing when studying the Scripture, seemed rather difficult. But imagine my surprise when today, after studying this book more seriously, I came to find God and His covenant rich upon almost every page of this profound book. Rich theological teaching, even bringing my search for wisdom right back to the feet of Jesus. And my hope and prayer tonight is that you might have the same kind of delightful surprise in dealing with the study of verse 7, focusing specifically on the fear of the Lord. There are three things that we'll touch upon. A massive subject. Many books dealing with the fear of the Lord, because it goes well beyond chapter 1, verse 7 of Proverbs. In fact, we find it over 21 times in this book and riddled throughout the pages of Scripture. But this evening, we'll deal with the fear of the Lord with just three points to get us into a little bit more of this biblical teaching, thinking about the fear of the Lord as a response to God, as a relationship with God, and as a responsibility to God. First of all, consider the fear of the Lord as a response to God. When Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," maybe the most entry-level or basic understanding of the fear of the Lord would be a fearful response to the Lord. And indeed, we do find that quite often, that very meaning in the Scriptures. In fact, it's throughout the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. Though some have limited the fear of the Lord as an expression of Old Testament piety, even promoting that view by translating fear with reverence or awe, it is a holistic teaching throughout the whole of God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation. I mentioned that some will translate fear as reverence, and reverence is good, isn't it? Communicating to us a deep respect for God, and indeed He's worthy of deep respect. And yet, fear says a lot more, doesn't it? Fear says a lot more about our response to God than respect. We fear heights and wild beasts. We fear economic collapse, disease, natural disasters, and some of us maybe can relate to the fear of long needles or going to school, even though those things can be very good. Even so, we fear them, even though they may be very good, because of their power or potential to harm us. We respond with fear because that thing or that person or God presents a power or a potential to harm us. Isn't that the case with God? God is not only respected, He is also feared by those who know Him because of His almighty power and His holiness. When we come as finite, sinful people into the presence of the infinite, almighty, holy God, we respond with this emotional reality of fear, for there is power. There is tremendous potential to cause harm. We see that in the telling of Israel at Mount Sinai, when God comes down upon the mountain and reveals something of His glory and power and might and holiness to the people. Their first response is one of fear and trembling. David in Psalm 2 summarizes this reality when he says, "Worship the Lord with fear and with trembling." And so there's no doubt that the fear of the Lord is very significant to Old Testament piety. And yet, we also find it present in the New Testament, quite often actually. Think about Mark chapter 5, when Jesus confronts the demoniac, and to be sure, the demoniac is really afraid, and he is rightly so, for Jesus is there as Almighty Judge. And yet, we might wonder at the townspeople who are freed from the oppression of the demoniac. They too respond to the power and holiness of Jesus Christ in their midst. We're told in the text that they were afraid and pled him to leave the region. And then we might think, amongst all of the other many examples of Hebrews 12, that our God is a consuming fire. Dear friends, we should not minimize this emotional response to God, for He indeed is most worthy of our fear. And yet, we could remember that popular example sometimes quoted in regard to the being of God, that story of C.S. Lewis. Now, some of you girls, I'm sure, have read C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And you remember the children in that story? There was one big lion, and they were a little concerned about the lion. They asked the beaver, "Is the lion safe?" And you remember what the beaver said? "Oh, of course not. He's not safe, but he's good." And you see, the same is true about our God. When we consider standing before our God, He is Almighty, He is the Holy One, and He is not safe, and yet He is so good. We find that point developed second, that the fear of the Lord is not simply an emotional response. That is good, that is true, but much more than that, the fear of the Lord refers to a relationship. A study of Proverbs and, in fact, the rest of Scripture place the meaning of these words, fear of the Lord, in a relationship. Fear of the Lord describes an emotional response, and much more importantly, it refers to that covenant relationship between God and His people. Notice in chapter 1, verse 7 of our text, it doesn't say that fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And in chapter 9, verse 10, it doesn't say fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, fear of God is not mentioned even once in the whole book of Proverbs, but fear of the Lord. On almost every page, the fear of the Lord bringing us to and declaring to us the importance of being in a covenant relationship with the Lord God. Now, most every religion responds to fear, responds in fear to its God. And yet with Christianity, think about this. With Christianity, our fearful response to God is countered by God Himself with a covenant of grace and mercy. He reveals Himself to us and we respond to His power and majesty with fear, and yet He counters that, doesn't He? With a word of grace and peace. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, we see it beautifully presented there. The Lord comes to Moses as a great king would come to his subject, saying, "I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them." Moses is terrified. Yet God responds to him with a reminder of His covenant and commitment to save His people. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God doesn't glory in our fear. He responds to it by speaking to us words of comfort, a promise of redemption. He is great, He's almighty, and He is good. You see, it's within these contexts that Deuteronomy 6 is unfolded before the people of Israel, where they are called to love the Lord their God, right? As we often read, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and just a few verses later, to fear Him. You see, in this covenant relationship with God, there is not a dichotomy or a contradiction between fearing God and loving God. As one pastor and scholar has just so simply and beautifully said, the fear of God and love of God are one side of the same coin when we are in covenant with Him. And so throughout the whole Old Testament, the fear of the Lord refers to this covenantal relationship, revealing, as it were, in shadowy form, an even better and more personal relationship to come in the new covenant with Jesus Christ. Though God has spoken to Israel as a king would speak to his subjects, in the new covenant we find through Hebrews chapter 1 that God speaks to us through who? His Son. While God spoke to Moses and Israel as a king would speak to his subjects, in the new covenant we are told that God speaks to us through the Son, so that through the Son we hear the voice of the Father and by faith join the family. And that becomes the all-defining relationship we have with the Lord. So that on this side of the cross, faith in Christ identifies those in covenant with the Lord. So now my question to you, what is the beginning of knowledge? Can't we say, on this side of the cross, in light of the Son, the shadows have parted, that faith in Christ is the beginning of knowledge? Only fools despise His wisdom. In fact, it seems that that's exactly what Colossians 2 verse 3 is saying when it says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, we have a beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, and in Him we'll find all of her treasures unfolded for us. Fear of the Lord is an emotional response, and it also identifies, more importantly, it identifies those who are in covenant with God. It is a response, it is a relationship, and third, it is also a responsibility. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. When we come into a saving relationship with the Almighty God, we've made a most profound beginning, haven't we? We've moved into a relationship that has the seeds of greater knowledge and understanding. And in that relationship, we possess the grace and mercy and love of God Almighty, even as we fear His overwhelming might and perfection of holiness. We have a beginning. Our responsibility then, dear friends, our responsibility, as you sang about this evening, is to grow in that knowledge. Now think about this. As with most relationships, responsibility naturally follows. Employment precedes and requires work. Marriage, the formation of a covenant between husband and wife, precedes and requires that unique fidelity between man and woman. And we could go on to identify more common examples of how relationship precedes responsibility. And this connection, this idea, is very, very important to the teaching of Proverbs in the Bible as a whole. That relationship precedes responsibility. Or, as someone else has said, relationship with God precedes ethics and the Christian life. In fact, 21 times in the book of Proverbs, we are brought face to face with the fear of the Lord in order to remind us that these little gems we come across in the book are never to be separated from a relationship with God. As if to remind us that these little gems can never be yours as long as you stand apart from God, or as long as you are at enmity with God, or as long as you do not cultivate and nurture that relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it highlights for us our responsibility to grow in the knowledge and understanding of our God. And so can't we say the same about faith in Jesus Christ? That it's faith in Jesus Christ which brings us into the beginning and down the path of knowledge and understanding of our Lord. That it's through faith in Jesus Christ we come to see and behold in a way we could never do before the treasures that God offers to us as His people. We might even say it in this very summary way, that faith in Jesus Christ is that which enables and inspires love for God and neighbor, such that you cannot have love for God and neighbor, as the Scriptures describe, if you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, if you do not have that personal, more intimate knowledge and relationship with our Lord. The former defines and inspires the latter. Faith in Christ defines and inspires love for God, just as love for God defines and gives shape to love for our neighbor. You see, that's the theological richness upon which the book of Proverbs is written. We can't understand the book of Proverbs without seeing that vital connection between having a relationship with God and fulfilling our responsibility to God as His people. Our responsibility as employers to employees. Our responsibility as employees to employer. What else does Proverbs talk about? The trouble and pitfalls of an adulterous relationship. Of how powerful the sensual desires can be. The trouble of pride. The power of the tongue. All of these things, so important for us as the people of God to understand, can only flow through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's why we pray, "Dear God, I believe, but help my unbelief." Because if we are not growing in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we cannot grow in a fulfillment of the responsibilities He's given to us. And we will live a heartbroken life, constantly burdened with sin and guilt for reading about the gems of Proverbs and either feeling like there's no way I can bear that burden, or, "Dear God, I failed again." But when we consider these responsibilities in light of the relationship that we have through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the ground we need to stand upon. And we have the inspiration we need to empower us to wake up tomorrow morning and to be holy like our God is holy. To love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and fear Him for the Almighty Creator that He is. Do you see? Faith in Jesus Christ is the beginning of knowledge. It's the inspiration of knowledge, and it is the power we need to pursue knowledge and wisdom and the Christian life, such that without a clear understanding of faith in Jesus and the way it functions in our lives, we will constantly, constantly be disappointed as we consider the responsibilities we have. But friends, with it, with a faith in Christ that is maturing and growing through the means of grace, through prayer, the study of God's Word, the proclamation of the Gospel, Word and sacraments, we can be those who do go forth as a blessed people and become a blessing to those around us. We can be those who are sacrificial and are giving because we see that Christ has sacrificed Himself for us, and in Him we have all the treasures that we could ever hope to have. We can be those who are sacrificial and are giving and in our loving and in our service because He is the one who speaks our love language. He is the one that we are identified in. And He is the one who will carry us and walk with us down the paths of life. You know, it was really towards this end that Peter wrote to his church, like us, facing many difficulties and many trials. And he says to them, at the end of his second letter in chapter 3, "Dear friends, since you already know this," right? You too, we know this. "But be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." How do we fall from our secure position? When our faith in Jesus Christ is weakened and our relationship to Him is questioned and our power from Him feels weak. Don't be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you do, increasingly in your life and mine, to Him alone will be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Our dear Father in heaven, You alone are worthy to be feared, for You alone hold the power of heaven and hell in Your hands. Forgive us when we deal lightly with the things of Your Word, when we deal lightly with meeting with You. And we pray, dear God, that along with Your forgiveness, there would be encouragement, that our faith would be strengthened as our knowledge increases, so that together we would grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. May His grace be our power and inspiration to serve You, dear Father, in the various places and opportunities You've called us to in this life. And dear Lord, as we pursue them, may it be our joy, for You have given to us Jesus and all the treasures of heaven. Thank You. For Jesus' sake, amen.